Okay. I need to call a roll call of all the board members. Would you like to, first of all, let's see.
Rob, can you?
Yeah, Rob, would you go call the roll call, please?
Okay, I know Marlene is here. Roger?
Yes.
Is here. Rex is here. Rob Turner is here. Linda Perrell is here. Paul Borelli? Okay. Paul
is here?
Not here.
He usually doesn't come.
To the south? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Jill O'Connell, is she still on the...
No. You're welcome.
Okay, so we've got anybody... Did I miss anybody? Okay, so we've got two absent, and that would be
Paul and
Jill.
Jill. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you all for coming. There's a lot of people here. So now, as far like what I want to announce first of all is that Linda Perrell, our corresponding secretary, is going to be coming around and quietly asking for donations for the Braille Challenge. And
really?
Yes.
Tomorrow, and there's the maximum number of people there.
Okay. All right. Well, let me. Okay. Well, I didn't know.
We
arm
wrestled
the 9-1. All right. All right, let me just tell everybody what it's about first. That way they'll... what we do is we go around... I'm trying to run a board meeting, whoever's talking. I can't talk above you. And it's for the Braille Challenge, and we sponsor a student to go to the Braille Challenge. You pay for their transportation along with a sighted person. And Linda tomorrow will quietly go around with an envelope, and she will ask you if you want to contribute. And anything you know, $1, $5, we don't care. We're just doing it to help out the Braille Challenge person, and we thought this was a good way of doing it.
Because the transportation is not...
The transportation isn't covered. So we wanted to help the student, and we think the Braille Challenge is a very worthwhile cause. And so, and when we'll talk more about that tomorrow in our business meeting. Okay. Rob, would you like to read the board minutes, please?
I will.
Board meeting minutes, April 10th, 2008. The meeting was called to order by Vice President Roger Peterson at 6:10 p.m. President Marlene O'Neill was delayed thanks to a late flight from Philadelphia. Jill O'Connell and Rex Ransom were absent. John Ross collected money for BRLC to be donated to the Braille Challenge contest. Recording Secretary Rob Turner read the minutes from the fall 2007 board meeting. They were approved with minor corrections. Winifred Downing read the treasurer's report in Rex's absence. The beginning balance was $2,009.65. The expenses were $1,060. Our income was $705. The ending balance was $2,364.65. The report was approved as read. Winifred made the following cost-saving suggestions concerning the production of the Braille Writer. One, or star, bullet, whatever, emboss it on 11 by 11.5 inch paper. Reduce the number of blank lines in listing officers and board members. Reduce the number of pages. Albert Contreras suggested including language asking readers to donate toward their subscription. President O'Neill read a thank you letter to Lynn Laird from Rex Ransom. He expressed our gratitude for the, it says 205 here, I'm not sure if that was the amount, but we'll go with that, discount on the cost for railing the spring issue of the newsletter. Winifred presented the nominating committee report. The slate of officers was President Marlene O'Neill, Vice President Roger Peterson, Treasurer Rex Ransom, Board Member 1, Paul Borelli. Winifred presented the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. Proposed changes include: the recording secretary shall prepare minutes within 60 days of meetings and submit them to the president and newsletter editor. These draft minutes would be included in the newsletter. Corrections and additions would be made at the next BRLC membership meeting. Section 6 concerns the election of officers. The delegate and alternate delegate to the BRL convention, and that's the national, would be elected at the spring convention meeting. Article 7 concerns committees. The proposed change would reduce the nominating committee from 5 to 3 members. The president and vice president would be ineligible to serve. The committee would be appointed by the president. The parliamentarian, this is a new point, the parliamentarian position would be eliminated. The adoption date would be moved from the end of the Constitution to a more appropriate location. The above changes were recommended by the Board of Directors. There was discussion of changing the number of consecutive terms for officers from 2 to 3. No consensus was reached. There were no new fundraising recommendations. Winifred and Sandy are investigating possible options. The meeting was adjourned at 6:55 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Recording Secretary Rob Turner.
Any corrections or additions to the minutes? Okay, would make a motion.
Be approved as read.
Okay, Roger moved. There's a motion on the floor that the minutes be read and approved as read. Any seconds?
Yes.
Okay. Wynn seconds it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions carried.
One abstain. Just because I was sitting
when you guys talking about. Okay, one abstention. Was there another set of minutes? There's another. Oh yeah, Rob. There's a conference call. Rob, minutes. Do you have them?
No, I don't.
Do you want it, Rob?
Oh, they're here in the Braille Writer?
Yeah.
Oh well, I do have them. Then what page? Was this May 25th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. I got page. I see page 15.
Just for everybody, this the board meeting last year, we had too many things to do, so we met in May at in a conference call to discuss some other things for the board.
Okay. So this is minutes of the BRLC board meeting, May 25th, 2008. The Board of Directors met at 4:30 on May the 25th. Present were Marlene O'Neill, Roger Peterson, Linda Perrell, Rex Ransom, Jill O'Connell, and Winifred Downing. Absent, Rob Turner and Paul Borelli. Concern with my recent move into my new living quarters and the details of getting my computer equipment connected, I had completely forgotten the meeting. Roger left on my home phone the information about where I should call to hear the recording of the meeting. I was reminded to send my current identifying information to Rex and Marlene. The BRL challenge. Wynn reported that $661 had been sent to Nancy Nebrugi, or I don't know how to.
Nebrugi,
okay. For the travel fund for the contestants attending the Braille Challenge this year. $200 had been voted for this purpose by the board at our fall convention meeting. $50 was later sent to Rex. $511 had been collected at the spring meeting in response to BRLC's invitation to members to contribute what they could, thus bringing the total to $661. Ms. Nebrugi said that there had been 27 test sites for this year's challenge, indicating how widespread has become the competition at a time when securing adequate teaching of Braille for students is difficult. Since the dues collected pay only for our national membership and the cost of producing the Braille writer, some plan for maintaining the contribution to the BRL challenge was necessary. A motion was made by Linda, seconded by Wynn, and passed to invite in the BRL writer members, I see, to contribute at each convention what they can to our yearly gift. The treasurer goes through the audience quietly with an envelope in which each member gives what he or she can so that no embarrassment is caused to anyone who can't spare much. Until a fundraiser is determined, this plan seems like the best we can do. There can be nothing more appropriate for BRLC to support than students learning Braille, something that is being encouraged more each year by the Braille Challenge. The Braille writer, Lynn Laird, always gives us a major contribution in time and effort to keep the cost of the magazine down. She and Wynn decided to remove the empty lines separating items in the list of officers to reduce the number of pages a little. Jill, Roger, and Linda requested email to reduce cost. Linda and Jill have devices on which they can download the issue if they wish. Wynn said that since our object is to stimulate interest in Braille, she feels there is a conflict of interest in encouraging members to adopt email for their issues. But it will save money for those who prefer it. Jill moved and Roger seconded a motion to produce the Braille version on 11 by 11 and a half inch pages, since Lynn thinks that that may save some money. The motion passed. Whether this format is continued will depend on the monetary advantage and the reaction of our members. Linda's thank you letters to Lynn Laird for November 2006 and April 2008 were read by Rex. BRLC delegate to the National Convention, Marlene, will be the delegate. Oh, I see. It's the category is. And Roger will be the alternate delegate. The treasurer now stands at $2,114.44. So that even though we allowed $400 last year, Linda's motion for $300 was approved with no payment for the alternate delegate. Answering our question, Roger said that he hadn't depended on money from BRLC. Resignation of treasurer. Rex said that he would very much like to give up the job of treasurer. He seemed to feel that he had been pressured into renomination and hence his election at the spring convention. The problem of dues collection each year is extremely time consuming, even though we now send the dues notice in Braille. Rex and Wynn have had to make 20 or more calls each of the last 2 years. Before that, the treasurer was sent out, the notices and concluded that those who didn't reply would be dropped from membership. While that conclusion is certainly reasonable, that practice resulted in BRLC being down to 20 members, endangering the affiliate's continued existence. Making the calls and replacing with new people the three or four each year who didn't reply, no matter how often they were called, has kept the membership at about 40. Rex suggested that John Ross be approached with the request that he be the treasurer, since he had been such a valuable help at the spring convention when Rex could not attend. Wynn agreed to contact him, and Rex said he would remain as treasurer if we cannot get anyone else to assume that responsibility. if John accepts, Wynn will pay his dues for the first year so that he can run for office after Rex resigns. The procedure is that Rex will resign in the fall and John will be nominated if he has accepted by that time. Nominations. The nominating committee is to bring forward for election in the fall someone for board position 2, the corresponding secretary, and the recording secretary. Keith Johnson indicated at the spring convention that he is interested in being on the BRLC board. Rob Turner, Jill O'Connell, and Winifred Downing continue to constitute the nominating committee. Fall program. Having no personal connections in Southern California, Marlene sought program ideas. Wynn suggested Vita Zavioli and Frank Welty to talk about their use of Braille at the corner store booth that was a great success at the spring convention. People like Chris Gray, Jeff Tom, Dan Kaiser, Mitch Pomerantz, and vending stand workers also might be approached to discuss how they use Braille in their jobs. Okay, Nubs and UBS. Wynn explained that the I know that stands for Nemeth Unified Braille System. Has been completed, including the computer translation programs. The Braille Authority of North America has no process in place for reviewing such an extensive document, some 7 Braille volumes. Those who prepared the UEBC were all BANA members, and the committees that have continued to work on that code have been completely contained in BANA. Roger observed that the UEBC is being incrementally introduced through recent additions to the existing code, though that process will not solve the problem of adopting a single code, since it is inadequate for technical and scientific purposes. Consideration of writing BANA letters on the matter from BRLC members will be on the fall agenda, Marlene said. The meeting was adjourned at about 6:15. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
We got a hand up here.
Excuse me. I'd like a question. This is Glenda Castle from San Diego chapter. Is there any way that we could get a copy of what the new Braille code is, whether it be Nemeth or whatever?
I'll be delighted to send you the material.
Thank you, because we'll a lot of this is news to me.
Thank you.
Lee? I am Barbara Reiter. I just joined the BRLC, the Revival League. I read Braille. I think it's the greatest. But I, too, have a question about what is this NEMA code?
Oh, wait, hold on a minute. We need to, first of all, before we answer you, I want to ask about the minutes. Is there any corrections or amendments to the minutes? Okay, entertain a motion to accept the minutes as read.
I move to accept the minutes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Roger and Linda moved that the minutes be approved as read, and Rex seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, what was the question?
From Barbara.
Barbara?
Yes, I was saying that what is this Nemeth code that you're talking about? And is this replacing the Braille as I was taught this, as I know it, you know, with number sign and letters and stuff, the way I know it? Or is this like jumbo Braille? Or, I mean, what are we doing?
Okay, you know, that's because last year Wynn gave a wonderful presentation on this. Wynn, would you like to just just briefly answer that question?
If I could meet you two girls somewhere, I would tell you some of what I'll tell you, take your names and addresses and get you material. Where can I meet you to talk to you about it?
The ladies are right here in the first row after the meeting.
Let everybody else leave and you two stay there and I'll come where you are.
Three of us.
Okay.
Yeah, that would probably be the best way. Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe there was an amendment of the ACB convention that now should be considered by them.
And you are who?
That was Mike Keithley speaking.
I didn't hear what Mike said here.
He said they thought that there was a resolution at the ACB.
It's in the Braille writer. There was a resolution passed at the ACB concerning the NUBS system. And it's in the Braille writer. You guys don't get the Braille writer, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, no, I'm just people. I don't remember the Braille writer.
Okay. Yes, they passed it. Okay. Next is the treasurer's report, and Rex accidentally forgot it, and we'll forgive him because he did such a wonderful job as being treasurer. That's okay.
You can send
it to me and Rob. Okay.
I'll even include Roger.
All right, and Roger, of course, and Linda, all the board members. Okay. Also, we need to talk about Rex. He is going to be. Shut up, Rob. You're out of order, Rob.
Let's talk about Rex.
We're going to talk about Rex. Rex needs to talk about his resignation.
Huh? Who are you? What did you do with Rex?
Excuse me. This is
hi. Hi. This is Rex. I'm resigning. Hopefully at this meeting, if we vote in someone new, John Ross has stepped up to the plate, and I just think it would be better, you know. The last few days have just been horrendous with my sister, who I help take care of, and I've just forgot all kinds of things for this convention. I wasn't even sure if I was even going to make this convention. But anyway, I'm here, but I have forgotten quite a few things, but I do have a list of everybody's name and address, so I am going to be collecting dues along with John Ross. So anyway, I think we need to have an election. Thank you very much.
Okay, Rex. I want to say that Rex has been a wonderful, wonderful treasurer. I mean, he would send me emails. He he would send me emails, even if he thought it was trivial, which nothing that he sends is trivial to me. He sends anything, you know, that he has any questions. He has just been a wonderful treasurer, and he's just Johnny on the spot about everything. Rex, you'll make sure that John knows the ropes and make sure he's...
We haven't elected John yet.
No, but if we do, you know, make sure that the next treasurer knows everything.
What I would like to do, which I've talked with John about, I kind of got thrown into it at this time of the year, and it was kind of a nightmare trying to figure everything out. And like, I want to do most of it to see John kind of overlook everything, you know, through year end here, so that he understands what we're really doing instead of just giving it to him and then he gets lost halfway through. And I told him, I said, I'm only an email and a phone call away, but I said I'll do it this first year, you know, through the end of the year, because we have tax reports we got to do for CCB and when to send in things and how much and different things. But we're going to work it out. I'm here, but I'm here. And at the beginning of the year, the end of December through April the 15th, I'm usually pretty dead in the water because I work for a living like most other people in this room.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rex. Thank you very much.
Yay! Right on! Thank you, Rex!
Okay.
We're somewhat doubtful about some of the jokes he sends out.
Yeah.
They're great.
I'll miss your jokes, Rex. Keep sending them. Okay, the next on the agenda is Constitution and Bylaws update, if any.
Well, yeah. Can you all hear me from here?
Yes.
Okay. Roger was given the wonderful task at the BRL national meeting of redoing their constitution. So I said, well, I'll work on ours. But I have no background in writing constitutions and absolutely none in being a parliamentarian. So one day I called Roger and I said, well, you know, my object is to get this thing reduced from 27 pages to maybe 10 or 15. And he said, well, what kind of things do you want to take out? And I said, well, I'll read you a couple of things from the first article in the bylaws. I'll read it to you. These are very brief. This is Article 1, voting, and it says, Section 1, proxy. There shall be no proxy voting at BRLC convention. Section 2, contested elections. Any election where there is more than one candidate for an office must have a secret ballot, the results of which shall be entered into the minutes. I said, Roger, I've been in BRL for 20 years, in BRL for 20 years, and we said, I think we should get rid of it. I said, well, they're customarily in part of a constitution. I said, well, do they have to be in ours? And he said, well, they don't do any harm. I said, well, none of the 27 pages do any harm, so I don't really have any idea what to do. My only idea was brevity, and so guys, after Mars are gone, I don't know what to do unless Roger finishes the national one this year and does ours next year.
I know I would be doing your work cut out
practically nothing. So.
Shall we vote on that?
Got your work cut out for you.
Roger's got the background. I don't have any background. I was just going to, and I say my object was brevity.
Well, we have.
Roger.
We have a little more to do with the BRL Constitution, but we probably can. I felt that I kind of left Wynne in the lurch on that because I really did plan to help her with it. I don't know whether I helped her or hindered her. So anyway, we'll finalize it. We'll try to finalize it by the spring convention. I apologize.
Apology not accepted, Roger. Not accepted. Emily.
<I'm>
Okay. Yes, I'm teasing Roger.
I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me there was a discussion a little while ago about people getting emailed and conflict of interest between people reading Braille and people reading email, and the fact that email is cheaper. Well, one of the things about Braille documentation is that it can be embossed when it's needed, but it can sit somewhere on a floppy or something like that and be as large as it wants to be. So there isn't really any need to do a lot of compression if Roger thinks it compromises the Constitution, because the probability of it being embossed for a lot of people is minimal, and it's still there, and it can be read on a Braille display and such. That's my thought.
Yes.
We were trying to get the cost of the Braille writer down, and people suggested that if more people read it by email rather than having the Braille in front of them, this would be a way of reducing the cost. And I said, I have difficulty recommending that when we are talking about having people read Braille. Many people who read email don't read Braille at all. Mike and I do, but we're in a minority, I think. So if we're sending it in email, they're not getting anything in Braille, even though they're talking about Braille. If people want that, they can, but I can't recommend it very much, because I think we're in existence to keep reading Braille.
And you are who?
Winifred Downey.
President? No. Linda?
Thank you. I think we're getting our strands of conversation tangled up.
Yes.
Here a little bit. So let us, I would like to propose sort of getting back to the Constitution. I'm definitely in favor of having the Constitution overhauled, because I think that it should be a living document and that we should abide by it. And if it's 27 pages that nobody reads or that we don't abide by, what's the point? So I urge the committee of two to continue their work in revising the Constitution and support.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Well, I want to make clear that I don't have any difficulty with overhauling the Constitution, and I don't have any difficulty with how long the Constitution ends up being if it says all the things it needs to say. However, I think there are some things that the Constitution does need to say. For example, if we want a secret ballot whenever there's a contested election, the Constitution needs to say that. It probably doesn't need to say that there shall be no proxy voting, because there, although I suppose you could argue that Robert's rule says there can be proxy voting unless you say there can't. But I guess my principal difficulty was that I wasn't clear. According to our minutes, there are only certain changes that we were permitted to make for this go-around. I don't think we were permitted to just wholesale revamp the Constitution by the votes that were taken last spring. But we'll keep working on it. We'll get it right one of these days, and I promise to do what I can to make it as condensed and as possible, as well as having all the stuff in it needs to have.
Excuse me, so you're saying there is absolutely no proxy voting?
There never is.
There never is in any
ACB affiliate.
For San Bernardino chapter, because they did ask that question.
I don't know of any ACB affiliate where there's any proxy voting.
All right, that's what I wanted to find out.
May I say something?
Yes.
This is Rex. I realize this is BRLC, and I'm the treasurer, current treasurer, but I wanted to bring it to your attention. The reason, which has already been stated, why we put the Braille writer on email is to save costs, and we are saving I don't have the minutes, which I did put it in the, not the minutes, but the treasurer's report. I did put that in there that last year, I really forget now, but we saved like, it was like $400 or $600 from the previous year, putting it on email. Pardon me?
We only sent 3 to 5 email copies. That couldn't have been worth $400.
Compared to what we paid Lynn, it was a huge amount. And I put that in there anyway, just so that people would know but on the same token, our treasurer keeps going down each year. We have, I really forget how much we have in there. We have way over $1,000, but it's gone down from when I first started. It was like $2,000. So anyway, it's just slowly going down. I want to keep this going. I don't want to financially bankrupt everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We got to keep that going. Wynn, do you want to talk about the Braille Writer?
Well, my only statement this time is, as you all know, I left out the board of directors and the officers, and I had to have that sent separately, but I did not charge BRLC for that. I paid for that myself.
Oh.
That did not increase your cost. Lynn Laird thought that if we had done it on the smaller paper that most of us like better, it would have cost a third more. I have suggestions. I think we should have only one profile from now on and make what other efforts we have. On the other hand, for many people who don't come to conventions, the only thing they get for their $20 of goods a year are these two issues of the Braille Writer. So I don't feel that we can, get it down to a little pamphlet out of justice for the organization either. I think we have to have something meaningful if that's the only thing they're going to get for their dues.
Okay. Thank you. The next is consideration of letter writing campaign to the BANA regarding the adaptation of uniform Braille codes encompassing technical and scientific writing.
Judy Dixon, who is the chair of BANA, has been informed by Joyce Hall, who is the communicator for Dr. Nemeth about this code, that the books are ready to be sent to the members of BANA. They're going to meet in November. And at that meeting, they will decide who should have the full copies of the book and what process will be used to examine them. All of the resolution at the ACB convention says that we would require BANA to examine them. They don't have to pass it. We have not the right to ask them to pass it.
Right.
But we have the right to ask them when they make a thorough examination. So that's where it has gone thus far.
Thank you. Wynn, would you like to comment? I slipped the jumped the gun here about the election of the treasurer.
Well, tomorrow morning, Rex will tell the whole, assembly that he wishes to resign, and he will accept the resignation. And then when the nominating committee reports the nominations for the three nominations that have to occur this fall, we will also say that we're nominating Don Ross, and anyone from the floor can nominate anyone to oppose any of these four positions. We will not have another opposition, and they will all be accepted.
Okay. And just so that I'm clear, too, we're going to elect tomorrow the board of director, too. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Corresponding secretary and recording secretary. Okay. I have nothing else. If anybody,
very close to.
I have nothing else. I'd like to thank you all for coming. And the BRLC business meeting will be tomorrow at 9:00. I believe it's in the La Jolla room.
Ouch.
And then the 10:00.
That's next, right next door to this room.
And at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a speakers meeting about Braille in the workplace. And there's going to be five. We're going to have a panel discussion with five people who work and use Braille every day in their workforce. May I make a would someone like to entertain a motion that this meeting be adjourned?
Motion be adjourned.
Yes?
This is Rex. The Braille Revival League is in Salon B.
What?
That's what the program said. Salon B.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Salon B. You know what? I goofed. I'm thinking of.
That's right across the hall.
Yeah, you're right. Salon B. I'm thinking of the something else. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So it's Salon B, right?
Correct.
Excuse me. Sorry. It's at 9 a.m.
That's part of the ballroom. It's right across the hall.
All right. That's right. So may I make an someone can make an motion that's meeting via chair.
Hey,
who's this?
John Ron.
Oh, hi, John. Okay. Second?
Second.
Roger, second. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions carried. Thank you very much, everybody.